Well, the main theme phrase is coming from James chapter 1, and we're going to not look at James chapter 1, but just to refer to it, if you weren't here on Sunday, like me, I wasn't here on Sunday, but we have the plan to talk about this phrase, unspotted from the world. James chapter 1, verse 27, one of the responsibilities of the Christian in that phrase is to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And to lead us into this topic today of the different ways in which we display the differences between us following God, following the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who are dwelling on the earth, those who are in the world, we would turn, first of all, to Daniel chapter 1, just to make a couple of contrasts and then to have some discussion about the overall viewpoints. Tim was expressing in his prayer about how we are in the world, and yet we are different from the world. We are not spotted by it. We are not polluted by it. We're not corrupted by it. These are some of the things I know that were already discussed on Sunday. And just to mention things that perhaps we might have seen in this chapter before, in Daniel chapter 1, that Daniel is brought with many other captives and many of the precious articles that were essentially stolen from the temple in Jerusalem and so on, that he was brought with others. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. That they were brought to serve in the king's palace. This was the intention for Daniel. I'm looking at near the end, about two-thirds of the way through verse 4, that they had ability to serve in the king's palace, and they were going to be taught the language and the literature of the Chaldeans, and there were specific intentions of what kind of food they were going to be eating, and that there was going to be 3 years of training in verse 5, and the intention was that they were going to serve before the king. And by the time we reach the end of chapter 1, the king is very impressed, if we could put it in those terms, with Daniel and his three friends. It says, chapter 1, verse 20, in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus, which is several decades of time in Daniel's life. But we would remember that in verse 8, there was this purposeful intention in Daniel's heart not to be defiled with the portion of the king's delicacies or the wine that he drank and so on. And so there was this discussion between him and the Babylonian supervisor, I guess you might say, who was set over him and his friends, to have a different arrangement that would maintain his own purity in the sight of God. So just to make this point that here Daniel is for 3 years immersed in the culture of the Chaldeans, the language, the literature, the expectations of somebody who's going to serve in the king's palace. And naturally speaking, we might say that they learned their lessons. They demonstrated a great capacity to be serviceable in the king's palace. And yet still, there was no defilement. The external things in which he was immersed, we would have said, well, I would never want to live there. There's so much going on that is by definition against the God that I am worshiping. They even wanted to change their names and did change the names of Daniel's friends. And we're still calling him Daniel through the book, but his three friends, we know them better by their Babylonian, their Chaldean names. And so with all these influences and pressures, the thought that underlies our discussion is that it is clearly possible, as we would say to ourselves for many reasons, but this is one good illustration that shows that this is what God intends for us. We are in a world that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in a world which has as its organizing principles, as came out on Sunday, its organizing principles are diametrically opposed to what God says. God says this. The world doesn't just say, well, I want to change that. The world says, don't do it that way at all. Do it this way. The principles of the world are exactly opposite God's principles. So we want to start a little bit just thinking about those principles in a general way. We're going to come specifically to this idea of being saved to serve God, to be servants, to have that attitude. And let's just turn just with that thought in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 to look at a verse about that. But before we look at that verse specifically, think of this general question. We're going to ask for some discussion about this general question. Why are we here? I mean, this is something that every human being asks, right? This is part of the angst of the teenage years, you know? What am I doing here? What's my purpose in life? Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? And how do I make my way in this world? And what's my purpose for being here? And so on. And we want to try to find some answers for that. Why are we here? So start letting that question go into your mind to find some scriptures to answer that. The reasons why we're here. One of them is 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. The middle of the verse says, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven and so on. But especially this thought, you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. We've been turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Paul speaks of that in Acts chapter 26. And the Thessalonians have been turned away from their old lifestyle in order to be servants of the living and true God. So we can see that that is clearly one of the characteristics of Christians. But in general, I'd like to hear some discussion now. What are some other things? Two parts can be answered here. I hope it won't be too complicated to answer it this way. But why does the world think we're here? And why does the Bible say we're here? So there's kind of two parts to that question. Why does the world say we're here? And why does the Bible say we're here? And you can answer either one or both. But let's maybe have some examples or illustrations or specific scriptures that would help us explore that a little bit more. Why are we here? Why do unbelievers think they're here? Why do believers, how are we taught that we're here? For what purpose?
Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. That's when the Lord is... When the Lord is going to walk in the garden, when he goes to the garden to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, it would seem that the grand purpose, the purpose man was created, was to fellowship with God. Essentially, bring pleasure to God. God created us for his pleasure and to have communion with us. That was a part of it. And then... because of sin, that there's a separation, and now we get to the verse in Thessalonians. Well, now because sin has to be taken care of, then the relationship can be reestablished. But we're here to have a relationship with God on his terms. I think that's the important point, on his terms.
Good. What else?